Welcome to the Rhone Podcast. Rhone is a curated physicians network that supports concierge, DPC, and private practices so they can remain independent without being alone. We believe that the future success of primary care requires membership-based medicine practices to thrive. Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Pope, CEO of Rhone, and I'm glad you found us. I hope you enjoy this latest episode of the Rhone Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. We have a really unique and special episode for you today.
That's right. This is probably the first time in podcast history where we are recording two podcasts at once.
That's awesome. First time in podcast history. I'm Scott Pope, CEO of Rhone and host of the Rhone Podcast.
And I'm Ryan Bessemer, Director of Growth at Strata Healthcare and co-host of the Beyond the Script podcast. And I'm here with my other co-host and my father, Dr. Joel Bessemer.
I'm just a sidekick to both of these two. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And it's great to be with everybody.
I'm so glad you guys are here. For my Rhone podcast listeners, Ryan and Dr. Bessemer are very cherished and valuable Rhone members. Joel's actually one of the founders of Rhone. And they come from us with their members MD and Strata Healthcare practices in Omaha, Nebraska. Their podcast, Beyond the Script, it started towards a different audience. They go towards more consumers. Versus where we go to a different audience, but their consumers want to learn about concierge medicine and just getting Dr. Bessemer does a really remarkable job of distilling down complex topics in healthcare, and it just makes them super simple in lay language so that people understand those common medical conditions. If you haven't gotten a chance, be sure to check out Beyond the Script podcast.
And for our normal listeners of Beyond the Script, Scott's Rhone podcast is directed at medical professionals and specifically physicians in the concierge medicine space who want to be independent yet not alone and know the value of having a trusted tribe for their business and their patients and overall for their emotional well-being.
Gentlemen, I'm so glad to have you on. Thank you for carving out the time for us. Tell our listeners a little bit more about Strata and Members MD and, you know, kind of when did they start? Why did you really get this, you know, off the ground and how are things going?
So I'll start. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Members MD, I think, development in the beginning, because it's kind of what led us to Strata. So I started Members MD in 2010, February 1st of 2010. And interestingly, I started doing concierge medicine. I opened my original practice, a personal service medical practice at the University of Nebraska Medical Center on February 1st, 2007. Prior to that, I had the great privilege of spending some time with John Kirkpatrick out at the DARE Center in Seattle, one of what I call the godfathers of concierge medicine, back in the original days of the SIMPD days. For those of our physician listeners out there that have been these entrepreneurial physicians all along. So, John, if by chance you listen to this, God bless you and thank you for all your help and guidance. Couldn't have done it without you. So we started Members MD after my 3 years at UNMC. There were some things going on inside the academic world. At the time, I'm a residency program, associate program director, and had been one for 12 years. Average length of stay in that kind of job is typically 3 years. I was not pleased in the academic side with where things were going with resident work hours and what I was seeing happening in resident training. I had been teaching extensively and had done a lot of that with medical students and residents. And what I'd found through UNMC asking me to help them do this concierge medicine program was what it really fed my soul. And I loved teaching patients, no different than how much I loved teaching students and residents during my days as the associate program director. And there's nothing better than concierge medicine to allow you time to help teach your patients about what's going on inside their body and how you can make a difference with that and how they can make a difference with that, as opposed to maybe just trying to give them a Band-Aid or another medication. So I fell in love with that part of it. So then we started Members MD in February. Interestingly, in the state of Nebraska, a physician could not accept any money for anything that could have been covered by a patient's insurance. So if you were uninsured, you could pay a physician cash. If you were insured, you could not pay for anything with cash if the insurance could have covered it. For those of you, you know, that think about Nebraska as the flyover state, right? We are an insurance headquarters for many insurance companies. And so we had some special laws in the book. Ben Nelson, the kickback senator from Nebraska, was a governor of Nebraska, and his history goes back as being actually an insurance lawyer. And so I think that was part of what guided some of those things and helped us get into some of those things. But what that meant for Members MD was we couldn't take the Matt Pretty approach. We couldn't do a direct primary care based approach in Members MD. And what do I mean by that? We couldn't basically say, hey, our annual fee is $4,000. And for that $4,000, we're going to cover your labs and your exams and all those things are covered and included. We have to instead bill for all of those things inside of concierge medicine. So that's when Members MD got set up. That's why we kind of established it the way we did. We were relatively new to the market when we started in 07 at UNMC and still very new to the Omaha market and the Midwest when we even opened Members MD in 2010. Our growth has been off the charts as of late. We now have four docs doing Members MD. I'm one of the four and own and run the practice. And I was just chatting with Scott before we started the podcast that we, you know, bought a building and moved from 3,000 square feet into 15,000 square feet just 3 years ago. And we're basically outgrowing the building already. I'm ready for new space. So it's been a really fun, exciting time from a Members MD perspective. I wouldn't wish this COVID experience on any country or any healthcare system or any patient. But what it's really done, I think, inside of concierge medicine and direct primary care is it has made patients better understand how important it is to actually have a relationship with their physician. And as you and I have talked many times, Scott, that is such a key in direct primary care and concierge medicine. Yeah. I'll let Ryan talk about Strata.
Yeah, so Strata kind of grew out of the idea of what we did in concierge medicine. And I remember back before we started Strata, my father and I would do these seminars. I was in wealth management and we'd call them health and wealth. And I still have a copy of the slide deck we would use. He would show the chart of administrative staff growth versus physician growth over a period of time. And I remember he'd talk about how we can't just continue this cycle. Physicians are getting burned out. And he'd say, if we don't fix this, your kids, my grandkids are going to get all their care from Walgreens, Walmart, Kmart. They're not going to get it from a physician. They're just going to get it in a superstore. Because we need to find a way for physicians to practice in a better model. And then he'd flip to the next slide and it was direct primary care. And he said, this is going to be coming down the road. And this was, 2014, 2015 that we were doing these seminars. And so it was always something that you had talked about doing that. And we saw the opportunity to launch it. And so, Strata essentially started as a way for mom and pop, employers and individuals and families to purchase affordable primary care directly from their physician. Funny enough, it's really similar to our concierge model in the sense of we hire really, really great physicians. We provide great service. You get a personal relationship with a provider that you can contact 24/7. And we kind of just extrapolated those good services out. And now we work with really large businesses. And so, Strata now, we have over 50 clinics spanning 8 states. And we have opportunities to work with companies with over 20,000 employees now, as well as all the way down to little coffee shops in Omaha. And so we're excited that the model of direct primary care enables us to bring better primary care to people who need it. And Dad, you talk a lot about how the number one purchaser of healthcare in the United States, outside of maybe Medicare, would be employers.
Yeah.
And so if we can't figure out a way for companies to save more money on their benefits and to purchase care directly from physicians that are providing it, we have to start with the employers. So that's a little bit about us. Scott, I'll kick it back to you. Tell us about Rome. How did Rome start and where do you see your company fitting into the growth of concierge medicine?
Yeah, happy to elaborate on that a little bit. But Ryan, before we come to me, I was trying to think like one interesting fact that I know about you that would be a good kind of talking point for my listeners to know. So my question for you is, are you an only child?
No, I'm not. No, I have a few brothers and sisters. I have 7 brothers and 8 sisters.
I'm sorry. It sounded like you said 7 brothers and 8 sisters.
Is this a gotcha question?
I always love when I'm with Joel because I tell people, I'm like, this is Joel Bessemer. Between Joel and I, we have 18 kids.
That's a great statement.
I love it. Yeah. So the background to anybody who hasn't met me or heard me speak before, my wife and I do have 16 children, believe it or not, 13 of them she delivered, 3 of them adopted from Ethiopia. Awesome. And so, yeah, fabulous. We love that big family life. And believe it or not, today in my clinic, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 children in my office working today.
That's so awesome, man.
Yeah, it's great. This truly is a small family business between Strata and Members MD that we're trying to explode into big national family business.
Yeah. Well, Joel, I love your story because you've traversed so many different aspects of the healthcare system. You know, having built, you know, from an academic perspective, running a residency program, and then, you know, kind of starting a concierge practice and starting a, you know, larger based direct primary care practice. You've been successful at so many turns, and your practices like Members MD and Strata are exactly the reason that Roamed exists. Roamed is here today as an international network of membership based primary care practices, and we really help them. You mentioned the kind of the tagline there at the beginning, Ryan, to be independent, not alone. The value of a tribe with these independent docs, you know, the guys and gals that are running these membership-based or relationship-based, as you say, Joel, primary care clinics, they need a lot of support. They need some additional infrastructure. They need some, you know, some discounts on some of the things that they buy through a supply chain solutions. But most importantly, what Roamed delivers is a tribe, is that a sense of connectivity. We provide a number of different channels for these docs to, you know, have the opportunity to fight the good fight independently, but they've got a trusted network of docs all over the country that they can share patients with, right? So as, you know, Dr. Bessemer's patients travel from Omaha to Tampa, if something happens in Tampa, we've got Roamed members in Tampa that will take care of his patients like they're his own patients. And that network of, you know, trusted docs that you would even go as far to trust them with your patients, your most prized, you know, resource, it just speaks volumes to the caliber of folks that we bring in. We're very selective on who gets into the network, and thrilled, Joel, that you were, you know, kind of the founder of this network and this organization. And I've been privileged to be the CEO now for 3 years since June of 19. And it's always an honor, and I always enjoy the laughs that you and I get to have and the smiles that we share, and know that there's really good things happening on the other end when we get to work together.
Oh, amen. And I'd like to share a couple of personal stories about Roamed, one at my patient level and one at my physician colleagues that are listening. It kind of interacts with both. So I hope Radley Griffin takes a listen to this, because Radley's like a brother to me. I love that guy. And you bring up Tampa, so you just set me right up for it, right? So it made me think of the story. So just last week, I'm seeing a patient in my clinic, and he has a new wife. And they spend a majority of their time living just outside of Tampa in Florida now. I've taken care of my patient for 10, 12 years. He's been a part of my practice. Now he's retired. His son is running the business. And so they're going to go live in Florida. I have not been taking care of his wife. And so Bob, the patient, says to me, I'd really like my wife to come into your practice. I said, that's really difficult for me right now, Bob. I'm full. If you want me to care for her, I can. And then I just commented. I said, let's see now. Aren't you guys spending a bunch of time in Florida? Where are you at? Oh, we live just outside of Tampa down there. I'm like, okay, I've got the solution. I think because they're not Florida residents, they spend more time in Florida than they do in Nebraska. And so I said, I've got a great solution, Bob. I'll take care of you and my Members MD practice. Let's get your wife to sign up with Dr. Radley Griffin's practice in Tampa. And then between our two practices, we're going to take care of both of you. It doesn't matter where you guys are, who's sick with what. We can share that between Radley's group and our own group. And that's one of the beauties of what Roamed does at the patient level. But see, at the same time, it's one of the beauties of what we're doing for each other. I didn't have to waste any time going to figure out who do we have down in Tampa, all those kinds of things, because in Roamed, it is such a tight network. We know each other. We call each other. We talk to each other. And then most importantly, for anybody who's listening out there at the physician level that is not in Roamed and you're inside this concierge space, I'm just telling you, come to a meeting. Come meet the group, because this is what you're looking for to feed your soul. If you're doing this and you're doing this independently right now, you are struggling with so many things. And it might be your practice is successful, but I promise I've been there. It is so difficult going from the bigger network, like an academic medical center, and then being out on your own. And you're wondering, who do I get feedback from and how do I learn new things? Why do I have an InBody in my practice? Why do I have PhotoFinder in my practice? Why am I doing Boston Heart tests on my patients? All of these relate back to that Rome network and talking with other physician colleagues and saying, what are you doing in your practice and what's working and what's not working? What are the mistakes you've made? What should I not do when I start my practice? What should I learn from the mistakes you've made? And that's what we love to share with each other. My favorite session at Rome is always that discussion. When we as the colleagues, honestly, at the last one, it was when we were in the pool. We're all sitting around in the pool having drinks and we're talking about what's working in our practice and what's not. This, no different than concierge medicine, is not ass in seat medicine. Rome does not sit in a chair and let's teach you something. Rome does, let's get together. Let's get to know each other better. Let's develop authentic relationships with each other and let's help each other grow each other's practices.
So you're,
I
you're
love
the,
it.
Yeah. You're the absolute best. We could probably just wrap the episode right there. I mean, it's so awesome. And it's, you know, it's a testament to why this network is valuable, because it's people of your caliber, you know, that are part of this, that are very eager to share. You know, you don't have a good idea and then want to, you know, kind of hoard it to yourself and not let it out. When you find something that works, you want to make sure every one of your peers and colleagues, you know, all over the US and even abroad, you know, get an opportunity to put that same thing in their practice, whether it's a patient care solution, whether it's a business operation solution, or, you know, HR or whatever that may be. And that's, you know, it's a bit cliche, but we're stronger together.
Fantastic. Another personal example there that just makes me think of, Scott, is Gallery and Grail, right? I mean, Roamed, without Roamed, I would not have an opportunity right now to be offering Gallery testing to my patients. Gallery testing for any of my patients who haven't been in to see me within the past couple of months is what we've said one of the holy grails of medicine would be a wet biopsy. What does that mean? We draw one tube of blood and we can look for greater than 60 cancers by looking for methylated cancer genes. I mean, you want to talk about changing the face of medicine and taking a sick healthcare system and flipping it on its side? These are the things we can do.
Yeah. No, and it's a really good point. So let's, for your listeners that are on that, you know, maybe have seen Strata from the outside or seen the Members MD from the outside, but you know, they're still at a traditional primary care clinic where there's probably not a relationship. I can tell you before, you know, I kind of moved personally into the concierge space for my own care. My primary care doctor couldn't pick me out of a, you know, 5-person lineup. Yeah, he had no idea who I was, much less, you know, knowing what medications I'm on and what my past medical history is or my allergies or any of that stuff. And now that I've got a concierge doc, like I have a very deep, meaningful relationship with my doc. And when I run into him at the grocery store or restaurant, like he can tell you everything about me because he's not managing thousands of patients. But Joel, just I guess for your average consumer there in your local market, what are some of the major differences between a traditional kind of, yeah, you know, they're saying, I've already got a primary care doc. Well, what is the difference between that situation and what you guys are doing with Strata and Members?
Well, I think the biggest difference is Ryan's probably going to plug his ears for a while now because he's heard me say it so many times. But quite honestly, Scott, it is about relationship. But the biggest difference really is patients today inside those other practices are living in a sick healthcare system. And as I say every time, you can take that connotation a million different directions, but I mean it directly. It is a sick healthcare system. Every one of those systems only benefits when you're sick. They do not benefit by keeping you healthy. So I just met with a patient today who wants to come into Members MD, and he's like, why have I not been able to get any of these other things done? I showed him a PhotoFinder. I talked to him about doing a Boston Heart. We looked at the InBody machine. He's like, why have I not been able to get any of these things done in the past? Why is it I have to come to something like this in healthcare to learn about it? And really, that is the reason. Why does a lipid specialist at an academic university have to leave his university and go to a different one to be able to do what he wants to do in lipidology, meaning use Boston Heart and their ability to break things down so we can better educate, teach, and understand, because another hospital system doesn't want to lose the revenue of doing fasting lipid panels, which, what would that be, $6 they might be making on one, or $60? I don't know. But the point is, these are financial decisions. It's a sick healthcare system. And as much as sometimes it becomes uncomfortable in medicine to talk about, medicine's a business. And what we have decided to do on the concierge space, what we have decided to do in the direct primary care space, is take that on. We understand that it is a relationship-based practice, and that takes time. And if you're going to have time, there's got to be a money link to it. The two can't work independently of each other unless you're volunteering. And once again, we can do that towards the end of our careers or once we built things, but we can't do that to fix primary care. I see what Ryan talks about on a daily basis right now, advanced primary care solutions and those kinds of things. That's our future of healthcare. That's our future of primary care. That's what I could build a new advanced primary care centers to start teaching medical students and residents and changing how healthcare is delivered.
Yeah. Well, and also to kind of pile onto that just a little bit, the, you know, in that traditional primary care space where the physicians have, you know, heavily rely on the insurance dollars to come through, you know, an individual physician has to have between 2,000 and 3,000 patients in their panel that they're responsible for over the course of a year. Like think about the number of human beings that you interact with, you know, the listener, as, you know, on an annual basis. Imagine now being responsible for the healthcare of 2,000 of those people. You don't have the bandwidth. There's not enough hours in the day. If you work 24 hours a day, there's still not enough time to do justice for healthcare for those folks. And so in the, you know, the model that they've set up with Strata and members, you know, we're not talking about thousands of patients. We're talking about, you know, a couple hundred patients in those panels. And so it allows them the dynamic of that, you know, relationship-based medicine can actually exist now, because I've got a much more manageable, you know, group of patients that I'm responsible for. You've been able to do it because you put an arm's length away from the insurance, as the relationship is now between you and the patient, right? It's not the physician, the insurance company, and then the patient in the middle. And by disintermediating them, the patients win, the physicians win, and, you know, the entire healthcare system on a whole gets healthier. Because of that dynamic and that relationship, because you are able to focus on true healthcare versus sick care. And you can do the things like the Grail test, where you're able to diagnose cancers, you know, much earlier on, things like pancreatic cancer that, you know, we don't find, you know, under traditional means and until way late. And that's why, you know, pancreatic cancer today is, for the most part, a death sentence of a couple of months, because you catch it so late. And that, you know, Joel, you picked a really good example there, because the Grail test, you can probably get it in a traditional primary care setting, but there's no CPT code for that. And for the listener, right, a CPT code is a billing charge code. And so while the test is now available, it's so new, there's not yet a pathway set up for insurance companies to bill for and charge for. And so it's a cash-based test that's available until there is a CPT code. And they're not going to make any money on that. Period. And so they, you know, it's very rare that you're going to find an opportunity to offer that. Not to mention that it's a kind of a diagnostic out in front. It's a prevention. I want to catch things way sooner. Whereas a primary care is just kind of, you know, traditional primary care is sitting back and, you know, almost like a catcher and waiting for things to kind of come at them. And then they'll diagnose them when it's a problem, versus, you know, the luxury that we have here in this DPC and concierge space is the ability and time to focus on a lot more preventative measures.
Yeah, I want to build on that, Scott, and talk about from the membership model, how it just makes sense when you think about the definition of insurance being a risk transfer mechanism. You know, everyone needs a primary care physician, whether you're young or you're old. And it doesn't make sense for us to use an insurance company to pay for something that we know we're going to need. And that's really like the base model of what the reason that Strata exists, the reason that direct primary care is growing so fast, is that it makes more sense to pay a doctor directly than it does to use an insurance company to do it. And that doesn't mean that insurance is bad. It doesn't mean that people shouldn't have health insurance, but it certainly does not make sense to have a physician, you know, file 6 pages of paperwork to get paid 90 days later to deal with your pink eye. Like, that should just be something that happens. And so we think that, you know, direct primary care and a primary care physician and a patient, 90% of your healthcare can be handled there. And then when it falls outside of those four walls, you know, whether it's the GRAIL testing or whether it's something as simple as I need a quick imaging center visit, we think those can be paid for directly as well. And so we think the future of healthcare and the way that things are trending is that health insurance will look a lot more like your car insurance or your home insurance. You have your car insurance, but you hope you don't have to use it. You have home insurance, but you probably haven't filed a claim in the last 2 or 3 years. And that's the way that health insurance should be. It should be there for the unexpected occurrences, but it shouldn't be there as a mechanism to pay for all your healthcare. And it's a big reason why healthcare expenses continue to go up every year is because we entrust insurance companies to buy healthcare for us.
Ryan, you really struck a chord with me there, because I use an example all the time on the car insurance front, right? So if you have a car, you've got car insurance. And what does car insurance cover? It covers the accidents, right? Does your car insurance cover oil changes? Well, no. Does your car insurance cover gas fill-ups? You know, the episodic things? Well, of course not. Could you imagine how expensive your car insurance would be right now if it had to pay for your gas?
Well, and how complicated it would be, which gas station is in my network, and almost to the equivalent of, they're going to do maintenance on my car and I'll get the bill 90 days later. And I have no clue what it's going to cost me. Right. And that's the way health insurance is. I'm going to go get this care and you just send me the bill down the road and I'll get 11 letters and not understand what they do.
It's been really interesting working from the bottom and helping to set this up. You know, Lisa, our operations director, is just phenomenal. And she has built for us an unbelievable cash-based network inside of Strata. And, you know, typically that cost inside a cash-based versus using your insurance company is 10 to 15%. So now make yourself, Ryan, a Strata salesman at the same time. And you're going out and talking to a business and saying, yeah, well, what do you pay when you get an MRI through your insurance? What do you pay for? And all of a sudden you start talking about what our cash price network is and these kinds of things. Well, what if we just upfront your primary care and we take care of all these things and we try to never use that insurance company? And all of a sudden you can start to see those click, but it's still a pretty long sales cycle because there's a lot of people still out there spreading misinformation.
Well, and we are conditioned as Americans, I believe, to think that healthcare is confusing and expensive. And it's not confusing. And, no. And it shouldn't be expensive. It's actually pretty simple. And when you work with, you know, larger companies like we do, it's fascinating how, you know, CFOs of large companies will spend months and, you know, belaboring over you know, dollars and cents on all these different line items of their business. Yet, you know, their number one budget after payroll, biggest item, is their health expenditure and healthcare and health insurance. And they think about it, you know, for a month out of the year and hand it to their HR as their 17th thing to do. And it's like, gosh, if you just managed this, if you looked at the healthcare that your employees need and work to purchase it directly from the doctors in your own community. I remember we were working with a company up in Norfolk, Nebraska, a small town, and they have a large employer there that we were talking about their primary care spend with. And we brought the local pharmacist from USave Pharmacy. And I remember this pharmacist talking to the CFO, and he said, I lose money on your company every year. Your employees come because of the PBM that you work with and the discounts that you get and all that I get compensated, it's less than my drugs cost me and I'm losing money. And he's like, why don't you just buy the drugs directly from me? I'll sell them to you cheaper than you're paying. But he's like, right now you buy them from an insurance company based out of North Carolina that's adjudicated through a TPA out of Chicago that runs through a PBM through somewhere else. And then the money finally gets to me. And it's like, I'm just down the road. They're coming to me anyway. And so that example, I think, you know, you can build on that from a larger scale and say, companies should just purchase healthcare to the extent that they can directly from the physicians in their neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so Joel, I'm going to ask you to kind of bring us home here. When you touched on the pandemic a little bit, and you tell me, how did the pandemic impact this membership-based medicine model? And what do you really see as kind of the go forward? Is there a bright horizon here for the future of this care model in the United States?
There's a big bright horizon for the future care models of direct primary care and concierge medicine. And once again, the reason we're running out of space in a 15,000 square foot building is because growth is off the charts. I mentioned that I think, you know, patients understand how important it is to have that authentic relationship. And the reason it's going off the charts all of a sudden for concierge medicine and direct primary care, COVID, I think, is a big part of that. Yes, because there was so much confusion in the beginning. And yes, nobody knew the answers. But do you think the docs out there with 3,000 to 4,000 patients called all their patients within the first week to have conversations with them about, listen, this is what's going on. We are still here for you. We're here to care for you. We may not be able to see you in clinic depending upon what's going on with you, but we're here for you. We're in our office. Call us with questions. We're going to try and share information with you as it comes. Were they recording podcasts to send out to them to try and help relieve fears? Because once again, as you well know, in a news cycle, you sell with fear. And so there was a lot of fear out there with COVID. It reminded me a little bit of the HIV stuff. There was so much fear in the beginning. And not that this was not something to be fearful of, but there's also a lot of misunderstanding and some of that authentic relationship and just being able to reach out. Concierge medicine and direct primary care were built for COVID. See, we didn't have to go out and build coding models and CPT codes to be able to do a phone call and bill for it because it's covered in our model. We didn't have to go out and build CPT codes and Zoom call models and all of this stuff because it's already built for in our models. You're paying for those things all up front. There's no extra fees. There's no CPT codes. There's none of that crap. So these models have flourished. And I think part of that is because of COVID as of late and what it's done to show that this truly is our future of primary care. And Ryan said it great. We got to get, listen, I love the insurance industry. They're critical. They're critical for healthcare. But we got to get them the hell out of primary care. They don't belong there. It was a huge mistake that we let them enter the market when they did. Maybe it made some sense back then. Marcus Welby says no. But it definitely does not make sense today. When I can do something for a tenth of the cost of what the insurance company can, what the hell is the other 90% doing?
Yeah, absolutely.
So folks, if you're listening and you don't have a concierge doc, you don't have a DPC provider, you need to get off and stop practicing ass and seat medicine. If you're a doc, your time is valuable and it's far more valuable than 7 minutes with a patient. Far more valuable.
Absolutely.
It's far more valuable in relationship development to your patients. You owe your patients that. It's why you went to medical school. I know that. So let's stop practicing ass and seat medicine. And patients, this can only win if you help. You got to follow. You got to find them. You got to seek them out.
Awesome. Ryan Bessemer, Dr. Joel Bessemer, Members MD in Strata Healthcare in Omaha, Nebraska. It's been a privilege to have you on. I hope you come back and be a guest with me again. And I hope you have me on your show again as well. This has been a lot of fun.
Well, Members MD in Strata loves Roamed, and we'll do anything we can to help it. So you let us know, and we'd love to be on again. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Roamed Podcast. If you enjoyed your time here, be sure to subscribe. If you have a story you would like to share on the Roamed Podcast, I encourage you to reach out. After all, we are stronger together. Now, I invite you to take a few for you and enjoy 3 minutes of relaxing audio. Be well, my friends.